Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and elders of the people, "What's your opinion?" A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, "Son, go out and work in the vineyard today." He said in reply, "I will not," but afterwards changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave him the same order, and he said in reply, "Yes, sir," but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will? They answered, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him. But tax collectors and prostitutes did. Even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe in him." The Gospel of the Lord. I choose to have the gospel focus on some of the big decisions in our lives. Is it yes or is it no when it comes to following God's call? In the prophet Ezekiel, Israel suggests that things are just simply not fair. No, not the Lord's way, but my way is certainly very confusing. And we see in the letter to the Philippians that Christ emptied himself and undertook the full range of our human experiences, taking the form of a slave, and after passing through suffering, being exalted by the Father, and given a name that is above every name. Well, where am I in all of this? I think back over the years about friends and companions, and I see vocations and callings that worked for a time and then had to change. I see marriages that enrich the whole community and then, for reasons I could not understand, simply fell apart. Sometimes people have to do the very hard work of finding a new direction in life. I suppose that I pay more attention to religious vocations that have changed, and through the years, I've always tried to stay close to old friends who've shared the very exciting experience of the adventure of religious life. And this has really paid off. What wonderful friendships. You find here an attempt to build a resounding yes to the call of Christ. Yet during a time when people would not be held in an unhappy situation by fear, I've seen dear friends move on to other vocations and ways of life only to realize the yes to God that they sought in the first place. Here's where friends become important, because we can affirm the lives of the people we love. What a blessing it is when a friend identifies a special blessing in the attitude or behavior of a person who is perhaps so busy or filled with responsibilities that they really would not have claimed such a virtue for themselves. But that's what friends can do. Name the goodness we certainly aspire to, but feel we only possess in a tentative way. We all need such a reassurance in these confusing times. We discover that the church is here not so much to point out faults, but to build upon our deepest needs and hungers, and identify the deep down goodness we aspire to, often only in the secret depths of our souls. And during a time like ours, when the yeses and the noes are not so easily identified or evaluated, how important it is to step out and call forth the goodness we see in the depths of our brothers and sisters, even when this is only partly realized or obscured by fear or the occasional failure. How many times did I need to fall down when I was learning to ride a bicycle before I could manage on my own? Well, this was long before, as you can imagine, the time of training wheels. How important it is for us to notice the good things that our brothers and sisters aspire to, especially when things are not going so well. Our word of hope can be a real blessing. And then there's the possibility that because we've received some spiritual encouragement, we may have the courage to turn more directly to God and offer thanks for the modest progress we've made, to bask for a moment in the full beauty of the activities we aspire to experience our humanity unfolding in response to the divine generosity and presence, inconceivable beauty that the Lord allows us to see in the lives of our brothers and sisters, and in creation itself. The gospel reinterprets the ordinary circumstances of our lives as a place where God is present with his transforming love. And when we discover belief in the wonder of God's regard for the little ones, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, in our time, the war profiteers, the indifferent, the vicious bankers, all the online pornographers of our time, the people who are so rich they don't even think of God, the people who are so poor they think that God never thinks of them, all need to be swept up in a glorious yes. Do not go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. During most of my adult life, this rant of the poet Dylan Thomas has been very near to the surface of my consciousness as I approach the yes and no of living. I wish I could see more of this in other generations. Recently, I've been deeply saddened by the ascendance of a mildly agnostic sensibility that spends much of life attached to an electronic world of virtual reality, and yes, if you can believe it, virtual friendships. In church events, you may have encountered clergy, perhaps young, who favor rigid formality and enact archaic gestures and affect Latin, not really the beauty that Latin can be, but as a smug conceit, a jargon for someone trying to call attention to oneself. What nonsense. Where is the clear, beautiful language of direct English? I find such people filled with fear and righteousness, not a good approach to life. Not a yes at all. No, life's questions deserve a more humane and sensitive presence. These questions are far more dangerous and wonderful. I know it's not fair, but our yes to life is something of a prayer of thankfulness to a God who each day rescues us from indifference and blesses us with life now and always. Let a generous yes be your prayer this day and enter into the exciting, dangerous, and wonderful life of affirming our God.